We will bring the subcommittee. Where's the committee?
Committee.
Management Committee of the Public Commission on the Oregon Legislature. Start, and I think we want to kick off with two things, so we're going to go a little bit out of order. First, we'll kind of walk through these proposals that kind of relate to the this meeting and possibly the next meeting. And then what I'd like to do is go ahead and jump into scheduling, because I believe we're going to lose Commissioner Leeson a little early, and I'd like to get us scheduled out if we can before we lose her, if that's all right with everyone. And then we'll go to Mr. Henderson. I think we can probably get most of that done. It's the same. Marjorie,
I can certainly take over. Madam Chair, members of the committee, at your place, I gave you a little table that outlines the five proposals that are currently on your agenda, number 50, 60, 42, 62, and 63. And what I did is I just cut and pasted all of the bullet points related to those particular proposals so that you can have a discussion, or at least talk about what each one of them are before we actually get into the discussion about committee staffing and legislative research.
Later in our agenda, we'll have a fuller discussion of the work plan, but I think at this point, the idea, I wanted you all to have a sense of the context in which folks are coming forward today and at the next meeting. It isn't necessarily today to take action, maybe is the word I'm looking for, on these proposals, but that we will in the near future, that we're kind of, these are kind of in the background of what we're talking about, whether these are good ideas or not. So, any questions or any comments, suggestions?
But we could take action on today.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Bonner, no, you cannot take action today because we haven't scheduled them for a work session.
Remember?
thank you very much.
And we can talk about the timing of taking actions on these when we go through the work plan. The hope is for us all to talk about, you know, and have an exchange of where we want to go. Commissioner Sees.
Thank you. that's fine with me, however you want to take the order. I just want to I just want to sort of share with everyone that as we go over all of these things, I'm going to be thinking about the bigger picture, mm-hmm. which is Commissioner Frohnmayer's list of the problems and Commissioner Leeson's question about what a 21st century legislature looks like and her list of guiding principles from the last time. Do we have any other format of her list of guiding principles? The open and transparent decision process, the deliberation to broaden and refine issues, all those things in, like, maybe bullet form somewhere.
Madam Chair and Commissioner Cease, after the last full commission meeting where we did have a discussion about the points brought up by Commissioner Leeson, the commission co-chairs and I came up with a bullet point document that included the Frohnmayer 7 and the points brought up by Commissioner Leeson. We haven't made that available to all commission members, but we could certainly do that. We might have a couple copies available.
I would appreciate it because that's a test that I want to give to any proposal that we have, because I think that's the real reason that we're here.
Okay.
Thank you.
And again, I think we'll talk more about this in the work plan, but my thinking, and again, I'm hoping this is a group process and we have some feedback here, but wasn't to take immediate action, knowing that the process committee and some other committees are doing some work, and hopefully that we can kind of all dovetail to some decision making when some of those larger questions have been answered. So, but again, we'll talk more about this toward the end of the meeting. With that, let's look. If there's any more questions or comments, can we look at calendaring and schedule? Marjorie, do you want this here?
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, the next meeting that you currently have on the books is Tuesday, January 3rd. I think after your discussion today, you'll have a better idea whether you need to actually have that meeting or whether you would want to wait until later January or even early February so that we can have time to research any questions that come up or be more thoughtful in terms of developing the agenda for either a full day or a half day meeting. Just as a reminder, the next full commission meeting is scheduled for the 13th of February. So I think late January to early February might be a good option for you as a committee, unless there's some urgent pressing need for the 3rd of January. I have to remind you that the holidays are coming up, and if we have research requests, although I'd like to put them out there, I don't know who would respond to them.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Seat.
Thank you. Tuesdays are really almost impossible for me.
Okay.
I turn into a grandmother and do transportation things.
Oh, Commissioner Broner. Okay.
And Mondays are impossible for me.
Let's go to the first question of the third. In the full... I believe you have a sheet of paper called Possible Work Plan for Management Committee, and it has the next full commission on the 13th. Is there a date that would work that is not the 3rd, but that is still before that full commission meeting?
So again, like I proposed on your work plan, January 23rd through the 8th of February. Those look like the best open days.
11.
Remember that e-board is the week of the 16th.
That's right. So the 11th, 12th, or 13th, or the 25th, 26th, or 27th?
Okay, the 13th I would urge you to steer clear from because I'm planning to schedule a couple of meetings that day.
The 11th.
Is that and I'm going to look at staff on this because we have three people for five committees and one full committee. Can you get what you need to get done? I think that's the challenge.
Not unless you have an agenda today.
How much lead?
So if we were looking at the 25th, the 26th, or the 27th?
Mm-hmm. That's probably better. Or even the first, second, third of February.
No on the 27th. So we're on the 25th or the 26th.
Or what about the first, second? 3rd of February.
Thursdays are even worse than Tuesdays for me.
Can we do the 25th?
25th. Do we have a 25th? Does that work for Commissioner Leeson?
What I would urge us to do, we have to negotiate these dates so hard. We negotiated the 3rd really hard, but apparently we didn't have staff input, so...
Yeah.
And there are only four of us here today, remember. Well, settling a date may be problematic, but we need to be more coordinated on everybody's schedule, not just commissioners' schedules, apparently, when we set these.
Well, we could certainly do the 3rd as long as I have an agenda ready to go today.
Right, and I understand that you probably won't, but there are four of us now agreeing to a date, and I would hate to have this committee devolve into only four of us.
You have five.
We don't have to give up.
We do.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I see an empty chair next to you. But
that's number 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mr. Okay. Martin's not here.
So January 25th looks like a reasonable day. January 25th.
It's fine with me. It's a Wednesday.
Great.
That's right, I wasn't counting the chair.
Nice, hard work. I'm the boss of no one.
Okay.
So, do we want to move beyond and keep scheduling? Because I know four.
Well, it'd be good if we could, and then allow any absent member the opportunity to give us input.
Okay.
the reason I have lost Monday is because we didn't schedule far enough.
Yeah. Okay. I'm comfortable with that. Are you okay? All right. So let's move on. Marjorie, help me here.
Sure.
Where's our next?
Madam Chair and Commission members, with the draft work plan, what we've done is we've identified where some of the key decisions will be made by the process committee, and we've inserted the full commission meeting dates in there just to identify where we'll have a wider discussion on some of the big issues that will influence decisions in this committee also. So I've drafted this work plan based on those decisions, so you have a total of 7 meetings before the end of August. So again, your next meeting could be January 25th, and following that meeting, the process committee and the full commission will continue the discussions about session structure, frequency, timing, which, as we've heard on previous occasions, is of significant interest to this committee. And then the fourth meeting, where you would discuss staffing levels for legislators and the desks. And then by meeting 5, perhaps in April, start actually making recommendations about some of the information that you're gathering in these first 4 meetings. And then by meeting 6, which could be scheduled for June or July, make your final recommendations, and then by August, finalize your portion of the report.
So we're looking for a early to mid-March date.
Mm-hmm. And again, the process committee is planning to meet the 6th of March, so
sometime after that.
Probably would be a good idea.
I'll be gone the 3rd to the 10th.
Okay. And no Mondays and no Tuesdays and no Thursdays. So how about March 15th?
Great idea.
Sure.
Okay.
Are we talking mornings? I have a noon meeting that day.
Salem? Or
Salem.
Well, I think it's my hope, and one of the reasons we're trying to get these early enough is to block out all days. It had been our hope this would be an all day, but the who's coming in?
What about the 22nd?
On the the 22nd. Would that be better for you?
Mm-hmm.
March 22nd.
Sure.
So I'd like to try to block out all days so that we can. So I know everyone's traveling here to make best use of your time. Or at least longer meetings. But today we had another committee meeting.
All day, the 22nd?
The 22nd?
Yes. Then we'll move to April.
The one thing that I have to caution you about April is that the building are having some electrical issues, so the last half of April is off limits.
That's right. No committee meetings.
Yes. Please try not to schedule after the 17th.
Pardon?
We can meet at the Marion County.
Well, you know, I suggested that already. Well, we are encouraging committees to get outside the building those weeks, so it's always a possibility. So, April 12th?
Sure.
I don't even know when April is.
Are we talking about all day now?
Yes.
So
if we can, and if we don't need it, then, you know, we'll pare it down. But when we set our meeting post last full commission meeting, there was another committee meeting that had the same brilliant idea to meet today. So, Marjorie's having a very long day. And we just
April 12th.
And we just said April 12th. Mm-hmm. Going once, going twice.
Good.
All right. And then we want to look at
June, July. And again, E-Board is the week of the 19th of June.
Okay. let's not do that.
You sure that we shouldn't meet during the e-board week because that might give some legislators the opportunity to come and give us some input?
You know, that's not a bad idea. It's hard. Let's see, we're looking at this meeting on making recommendations for staffing transparency. You know?
The 23rd?
If you wanted to do that, actually, you'd want to do it the 22nd, because that's when you have more members in the building. Because that's when you have the Senate's in executive session.
On.
So, what'd you do with that afternoon?
On
floor session?
That's not a bad day for me. I think most senators. You tell me. If you. You're an equal member, so. I would say that folks who don't serve on e-board probably arrive noonish, one-ish. What do you think? E-board members are come at the beginning of the day because mm-hmm. they have committee and they're here all day. But so probably, when would you squeeze it in? I don't know if Senator Morse could meet that day. I don't know where we would squeeze a meeting in. Yeah. Unless we did a very short, like, 3:30 in the afternoon, hour and a half, talk to members type of meeting. Yeah. I'm looking at Senator Morse here for some feedback. Not three. We want a 4-3. So
it's a bad idea.
Yeah. I don't know how
you want to do a full committee.
If the floor session doesn't begin until 2 or 3,
mm-hmm.
to have an open forum for senators to come mm-hmm. from 1 to 3.
You could do 1 to 3. You wouldn't be able to do a full meeting. So my question to you all would be, and Mr. Bronner, I know you're traveling quite a ways. Is that a 2-hour meeting?
That's fine. But which day are you talking about?
The 22nd. Oh. That would be a Thursday.
22nd of?
June. And I know that's tough for Commissioner Cease.
Can you accomplish everything?
Thursday afternoons are particularly impossible.
I'm just going to be here in the bed.
Pardon?
I would probably suggest the 28th of June and invite legislators to come visit us if they want to.
Thursday mornings are slightly possible.
Well, forget the e-board. That's
okay. I think you raise a good point, and
by that time they'll know that we exist because there'll be proposals to do away with the e-board in front of us. They'll be here.
Maybe we can try to look for another day that is an e-board, but that would be bringing members to the Capitol. There might be another event, is something that we can be looking at over the calendar.
Wouldn't it be the full commission that would want to make that available to them rather than just one subcommittee?
Madam Chair and Commissioner Cease, we're working with legislative leadership and the committee chairs and commission chairs to have a conversation with them about particular issues. I think that the commission co-chairs will probably make a decision as to how wide we spread that invitation to the commission and legislators. But we're working on interacting with them significantly.
Okay. I think, you know, legislators meeting with the full commission is a great idea. I think for the purposes here, there's going to be very specific actions or suggestions or questions and comments that a dialogue that you might want to have on the issues before us. But I would hope all the committees are.
So what have we done?
I'm sick of
it. Where are we?
We are probably on the 14th. June. Oh, no, excuse me. Why can't
June
I go
28th.
To, why can't I go to the 14th?
It's the week before e-board.
Okay. The 28th.
Are you available that
okay.
week?
I'm always available. 28th. 21st?
25th?
No.
I'll be in Virginia.
Okay.
What
no on the 28th.
What about the 5th of July?
Plan around me. That's what I'm on.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to be in town.
Well, we've got two.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's tough around the holiday. You know, the 14th is fine.
Okay.
if I'm really the only reason, go for 14. That's fine. The process committee will dismiss the day prior, though. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Are we back to June the 14th?
Yes. Does that work better for folks?
You can go run around the...
I'll be in Tennessee again, flying around because June, July are just terrible.
Does that work for everyone except Commissioner? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Do you want to go for one more? August? End of July, August?
So July 26th or August 2nd, focusing on Wednesdays.
Let's go for July 26th. Any chance?
Mm-hmm. July
26th? Yes. Mm-hmm. Does that work?
Well, tentative dates have already aside for some reason.
Yes. I think Marjorie is trying to look at those. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting us move that around. Okay. And you'll type that up.
Mm-hmm. We'll send those to you. And if you keep those on hold, but you certainly understand that things change. And we also have to talk to Commissioner Martin.
Yeah.
Make sure that he's available also. So I wouldn't say that these are firm. They're jello-y.
All right. With that, I'd like to invite Mr. Henderson to come up. Pardon? We've invited Mr. Henderson here today to go over, I think it should be in your packet, the assessment of committee staff services in the Oregon Legislature. I think he'll give us a little background, walk us through the recommendations. I know he worked with the team of folks who were here. So I don't know if I need anything more than that. Mr. Henderson?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners. I'm Dave Henderson, the Legislative Administrator. The document that I'm working from looks like this. You should have had it for a few days at least, an opportunity to read.
We got it this morning.
I apologize for that.
Well, we got an email.
As a way of background, before I talk about the recommendations in this report, let me start off by saying this is a report from the National Conference of State Legislatures, and I don't know how much you know, each of you know about NCSL. I assume you're all fairly well versed, and they are really the preeminent organization representing legislatures in all 50 states and several of the U.S. territories. About 18 months ago, I met with Chair Seeley and with Commission Chair Wilhelms in his role or in their roles as Chiefs of Staff to the presiding officers to discuss in general the structure of staffing for committees here in Oregon. It's an area that has been discussed pretty much continuously for at least 20 years that I'm aware of. And there have always been questions about what is the appropriate way to go about staffing committees. Should it be nonpartisan? Should it be partisan? What are other states doing? Generally, what could we be doing better? What could we be doing differently? So based on that discussion, as I said, about 18 months ago, I suggested that we bring NCSL in to do this evaluation of our committee staffing. NCSL has done this in a number of states, and they are continuing to do it. They're doing a full-blown report in the state of Maine right now. So they have expertise and they have experience in performing these kinds of audits, if you will, to look at structures and make recommendations. It took us about 6 months to work out all the details of having them come in on a contract basis. And then last December, they came in for their first site visit. It was a team of three senior staff from NCSL, and their titles are in the report. You can look at that. And they came in December to do an initial look and some initial interviews with some of the legislators and some of the key staff people. And then they came back twice during the legislative session and conducted further interviews and sat in on committee meetings and observed processes and how we work in committee services. Based on that and an interview that they conducted, a survey that was sent out to all 90 legislators, and in the report it outlines, I believe there were 51 responses. So it was a very significant response rate of legislators sharing their thoughts and opinions about the functioning of the office. Based on that, they developed this report, and I think there are a total of 7 recommendations in the report that we can go through. What they've done is compared Oregon with several other states that have comparable legislatures, whether they be biennial or the partisan nature, and typically Western states that they've been compared to. After they finished the initial draft of the report, they shared that with us and allowed us an opportunity to comment on it. And then they also shared it with 4 people from across the country who are in positions similar to mine to get their input on the report that they had written so that they had peer review of the report before it was released to us. Based on that, as I said, they developed 7 recommendations, and I'd be happy to go through those. I'd be happy to give you any other background prior to launching into the recommendations, whatever would be the preference of the committee.
Christian Bronner.
I think that Mr. Henderson should go through the recommendations.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
Okay, and these are summarized right in the front of the report under the executive summary. The first recommendation is that the current level of staffing for the Office of Committee Services is appropriate. And that the legislature should sustain the current staffing level. We were in a situation where, and you'll get more of this in a later portion of this meeting, how the structure got to where it was, but coming into the session, we had, I believe it was 11 or 12 continuing committee administrator positions, but 3 of those were vacant for a variety of reasons, people who had left to take other jobs in state government. So we had 8 continuing administrators at that time. And our feeling was that we could pretty much staff during the interim with 8 continuing administrators. And then we hire 12 to 15 administrators during session to work. And that was the budget that was approved for the 2005-07 biennium. So, in effect, this has been followed through on with the budget that we are operating under right now. We continue to have 8 continuing administrator positions, and I think it's 12 positions in the budget for session hires. We are able to, through savings that we generate through the course of the year, maybe hire an extra administrator or 2 during session. But that kind of depends on how things go throughout the year.
Commissioner Bronner?
Can we ask questions as we go?
Absolutely.
Is the job description for those for those 8 the same, or is it different?
Chair Seeley, Commissioner Bronner, it's actually a series of 4 positions, 4 different positions, and they are called Committee Administrator, Legislative Analyst 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's a graduated series. The position descriptions are the same. The length of experience and the amount of education that you need going up the scale is what varies, but the actual description of the position is the same for the 4 positions.
Thank you.
Commissioner Steve?
Thank you. So basically, I was going over these. I actually did go over these yesterday, or maybe it was late last night. Anyhow, so they pretty much look to me as if they're based on if the system in the structure of the Oregon legislature and its current meeting schedules and all of that, if that continues the same, then this would be sufficient.
Chair Seeley, Commissioner Seeley, we believe it will be. That always depends on the number of interim committees that are appointed by the leaders. If we suddenly had an interim where there were 25 interim committees, we would definitely have our hands full. Right now, we believe this is sufficient.
If this body decides that it wants to make some more drastic changes in response to the public's perception that the current system is not what it wants, or is not doing the right thing, or not doing it the right way, or what, then it seems to me we would need to look at some other kinds of things. I think personally it's a good idea to have a legislative administration system, but I'm thinking about things that have gone through my head. For example, I believe the public thinks that it no longer owns the legislative system. It thinks that the legislative system belongs to special interests, belongs to, it isn't operating in a way that makes it feel that it owns the institution anymore. And I'm wondering if we might need to look at perhaps more statutory committees that are in areas and more staff who are hired because they have expertise not just in fiscal matters or revenue matters, but agricultural matters, timber matters, environmental matters, transportation, one of my favorites, in local government, state government structure, those kinds of things, and if we would need to make some suggestions. If we went that way, I don't know if we would. I'm just giving the committee an example of things that have been running through my head about ways to make some recommendations that are symbolic to the public of we want you to own this again. There's also been some conversation about the role of caucus offices in research. If we wanted to recommend that that's really a bad partisan way to go about things, and that research for the development of legislation or for information for legislators should come from someone who has from staff who have expertise about those particular areas, then these recommendations would not be something that we might want to go along with, mm-hmm. because it's really the status quo. Not that you haven't done a lot of good work putting it together, mm-hmm. not that NCSL hasn't done a lot of work. NCSL, in my experience, was always a good place to get a lot of good information. But I just wanted to get that out on the table for the committee to... those are things that have been running through my head.
Maybe a couple of things to address those points, Commissioner Cease. We've struggled with that issue of should we be hiring issue expertise or should we be hiring legislative process expertise. And frankly, we've gone back and forth. We've gone to models where we strictly look for people in specific issue areas. And I mean that we wanted a natural resource person, and we looked until we found a natural resource person. We wanted a transportation person, and we looked until we found that. We've gone through other periods where it was, no, actually knowing the process, knowing how to go about administering a committee is the critical thing, and you can learn natural resource expertise. You can learn transportation expertise. We've gone back and forth on that. I think if you were to go to annual sessions or retime sessions or something along those lines, we would clearly have to reassess our staffing model and determine whether or not we could staff committees on an annual basis with this level of staffing. I think you might have to look at increasing the continuing number of staff and reducing the number of session hires, but that's certainly something we would have to look at. And let me emphasize, these are NCSL recommendations, and I appreciate them, and I think there are a lot of good recommendations here, and the staff from NCSL who put this together are more than happy to come back and speak with you as the commission, either the committee or the entire commission at any time. They're willing to come in and do that.
May I just add on? Is that all right, Tom? It seems to me, well, never mind. Go ahead. I'm
going to go Senator Morris, and then Commissioner Bonner, and then Commissioner Leeson. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Given the fact that very serious discussions, you know, are ongoing with respect to biennial or annual sessions, it would seem to me that it would be helpful if you had a pretty much a pro forma type recommendation. If we went to annual sessions, you know, what would the committee administration look like? Clearly, to me, in my mind, that if we do go to annual sessions, it really does change the way that the interim operates, because we'll have to have more work done in the interim in preparation for coming here and being very productive in the time that we are here. And I think those are all good things, by the way. But to have some sense of what does it mean if we do go to annual sessions and have prescriptive days that we're in session, what does that do to the staffing? And kind of put together a pro forma analysis of what those consequences to you and your staff would be. I think it would be very helpful.
Chair Seeley, Commissioner Morse would be happy to put that together for your next meeting. Develop some proposals on what that would take and the fiscal impact of anything along those lines.
Commissioner Brown.
Dave, I know that prior to a session, between the election and the session, you don't talk to anybody because you're buried. Explain to me, the leadership makes a determination sometime about how many committees will operate. Let's just take the House. The Speaker advises you that there's going to be this number of committees. How much time do you have between that notification and the fulfillment of the hiring? If you don't want to answer that.
And then there's always
Chair Seeley, Commissioner Brown, I think Commissioner Leeson has it pretty well pegged there at 20 minutes. I would be happy to walk through the process of how we go about recruiting for and hiring, so you'll have an idea of how long a process that is.
I think since we're dealing with management, and since that's a very valuable part of management, I'd like to know that. Because I think that's what it's about.
I can run through that very briefly right here if that would be helpful at this time.
I think we have time if folks are... Yeah, go for it.
Okay. We open a recruitment prior to having any idea how the elections are going to turn out. About the 1st of September is when we actually open the recruitment for committee administrators, first September to mid-September, and we start accepting applications at that time. And we stockpile them. And we wait until about, shortly after the election when we know who are going to be the presiding officers. And at that time, we go to the chiefs of staff, to the presiding officers, with a format that we've used for several hiring sessions right now, which consists of an interview panel that involves me, the manager of committee services, our HR manager, and then a representative of each of the four caucuses, Senate Democrats and Republicans, House Democrats and Republicans. So you've got a seven-member interview panel.
And that's for every position. I mean, that's not just for the senator.
Right. That's for all of the committee administrator positions, the 10 or 12 or 14 or however many it is we're going to hire. And then starting about mid-November, we will interview. We typically get about 120 or 30 applicants for those 10 or 12 positions. We will screen those down, and we allow input from the four caucus offices to say, we definitely want to interview this person. We don't care about this person. And we'll interview everyone that the four caucus offices say, we really need to interview these people, or we'd like to interview these people. Typically, it's probably 40 to 50 interviews that we conduct. And out of those interviews, we will develop a list of the people that we feel are strongly qualified to do the job. And then we really tier them. And then there's a tier that can probably do the job but don't have the qualifications that these people have. And then there's a tier that are probably folks that just are probably not capable of doing the job. And then out of those, we will develop a list, and we will work with the designated people in the president's office and speaker.